Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, award-winning actor Yahya Abdul-Mateen is here to chat about his new Netflix movie, The Trial of the Chicago 7. Sonia Lohman and former NFL player Greg Shrugs are here to chat about their Peacock TV documentary, Black Boys. Film and television mogul Will Packer is also here to give us the inspiration behind his new dating series, Put a Ring on It. And closing out the show is film critic, author, and journalist Rhonda Penn Rice. She's back to discuss four black women leading Hollywood's biggest studios. We'll also be playing music from Aretha Franklin featuring Annie Lennox, Beyonce, and a throwback from Gil Scott-Heron. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Step Up and Pitch It presents What to Know About Extras and Casting on Thursday, November 5th at 4 p.m. The virtual experience is hosted by producer, educator, and speaker Jennifer Walton, and along with guest panelists, actress and acting coach Tanya Jackson, casting director Kathy Rainking, and Patrick Ingram, casting director for Extras Casting Atlanta. Registration and additional information is available at WCLK.com. In other related entertainment news, Netflix has released the official trailer for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. The film follows the Queen of Blues on a journey to 1920s Chicago, where she engages in a battle of wills over her music and with her band. The film stars Oscar winner Viola Davis, along with the late Chadwick Boseman, Coleman Domingo, Glenn Turman, Michael Potts, Taylor Page, and Dusan Brown. The film is directed by George C. Wolfe and adapted for the screen by Ruben Santiago Hudson. It is also produced by Denzel Washington and Todd Black, with a music score from jazz great Branford Marsalis. Watch the trailer at WCLK.com. And finally, rapper, actor, and activist David Banner is teaming up with some of the biggest names in R&B music this Sunday night for an HBCU homecoming celebration. The Thurgood Marshall College Fund Rise concert is hosted by media personality Terrence J. and P Valley star Brandy Evans, along with appearances by Anthony Hamilton, Jill Scott, and Neo. The show will stream beginning at 8 p.m. on HBCU Nation and Aspire TV. Go to WCLK.com for more information. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Bremen Museum, presenting a jazz memoir, Photography by Herb Snitzer, available now through December the 31st. The virtual exhibition features portraits of jazz musicians from 1957 to 1964, including Louis Armstrong, Nina Simone, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, and Duke Ellington. Information about the virtual exhibition and other related activities are available at thebremen.org. That's thebremen.org.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
The whole world's watching! The whole world's watching!
Martin's dead.
The whole world's watching!
Bob is dead.
The whole world's watching!
Jesus is dead. They tried it peacefully. We gonna try something else.
You just heard the voice of Emmy-winning actor Yahya Abdul-Mateen II in the new Netflix drama, The Trial of the Chicago 7. He is starring in the role of a lifetime as co-founder of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale. What was intended to be a peaceful protest at the 1968 Democratic National Convention turned into a violent clash with the police and the National Guard. The organizers of the protest included Abbie Hoffman, Jerry Rubin, Tom Hayden, and Bobby Seale, and they were charged with conspiracy to incite a riot, and the trial that followed was one of the most notorious in American history. I caught up with Yahya during a recent AFCA roundtable discussion where he talked about playing Bobby Seale and the issues surrounding surrounding the trial that are still relevant today.
Bobby Seale was a man. You know, he was a human being. He loves his voice. He loves his people. He's hyper intelligent. And he has dignity and integrity. You know, I think in every good story, to me, every good story is about a person who is in love with a thing, and you have a force that is designed to attack and to take away the thing that that person loves. And for me, Bobby was in love with his own humanity, with his rights as a human being, as an American, as a man, as a Black man. And we had this oppressive force, which was the United States judicial system, fighting to take that away from him. So to me, that was the important thing that I had to know, was that he was a man first, and that he had dignity and self, and a strong sense of self and self pride that propelled him through this trial. You know, I think, you know, it doesn't take much to look at, you know, the world today and to see why it's relevant. I think that, you know, today, even when I look at why Bobby Seale went to Chicago, you know, he went to Chicago in the first place to protest, obviously, the Vietnam War, but also police brutality and police over-policing in Black communities, and not just Black communities, but also just, you know, the policing in America, you know, the entire system. And, you know, today, you know, the parallel is still there, you know, with the conversations and the evidence of over-policing, especially in Black communities, police intimidation, intimidation by the judicial system and mishandling of justice, especially disproportionately when it comes to black people. And those are all still things that we're still fighting against today. So I think our film can be a reminder of how far we have not come, and also an inspiration, you know, for young people who want to be involved as well.
Yahya's star is shining brighter than ever these days following his Emmy win last month for Outstanding Supporting Actor in the limited HBO series Watchmen. But despite his newfound fame and recent magazine covers promoting the film, the New Orleans-born, Oakland, California-bred actor still gets nervous watching himself on the big screen.
I always tend to, the first time I watch my films, I go in a room, I get it on a laptop, lay on the bed, I put the covers over my head, over the laptop, I make my world as small as possible, and I watch it, not necessarily nervous, but damn near on the edge of, like, you know, I just want to survive. You know what I'm saying? And you know, because you never know what you want to see when I'm acting. I'm not thinking about how I look. I'm just doing my thing, right? But I watched it, so I just wanted to survive. And so I see a scene, I say, okay, cool. I made it out of that one. I see another scene, cool. I made it out of that one. See another scene, okay. I made it out of that one. And with this one, I got to the last scene, and I said, I think I did good, you know. So that was my, if I'm being honest, that was my response to seeing the film and to seeing my performance. And I was happy with my work, you know. And I was happy, I was excited for other to share it with other people. So that, you know, that was my honest response to it. What the film has taught me is that I know what it feels like to say yes to a project that I want to do. You know, I read this one time. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And that's so important for me. That's one of the things that I'm talking to, that I'm reinforcing with myself right now, is that how I say yes and what I say yes to is so, so important, because those are the scenarios that are going to allow me to succeed. It's going to give me the best chance to succeed. This was the project that I read. It spoke to me. I wanted to do it. And I was able to look at it under the covers, halfway nervous, and I liked the job that I did. You know what I mean? And that feeling is important, because this is an industry where you need to make money, where artists will sometimes work for free, will work for less than what we deserve. And also there's a lot of big numbers out there where we have an opportunity to make a lot of money in projects that we have no business in personally, you know, have no business in for a multiple number of reasons. So this project and the feeling of this project was a reminder to me as an artist, especially where I am in my career. I'm in a very, very stable place. I'm very fortunate, but I am still learning and growing, you know. So I look at this project and I remind myself that of what a yes is supposed to feel like. Outside of that, it's really nice to be part of something that intends to do good, you know, that has the intention to, you know, to do good. And when it does, it feels really good. And so I hope to align my career with more projects that have good intentions.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is currently in Germany shooting The Matrix 4.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9. WCLK.
They are often reduced to just being a body, seen as something that could be easily discarded. They're just asking for dignity, which you would think all of us would want.
James Baldwin said to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious means that you are enraged almost all the time.
You realize you live in a world where your humanity is constantly being questioned.
This country needs to put the mirror up.
We're angry because of the notion that we love our community. We love our black boys and our black girls.
These young people don't need saviors. They need believers.
We're passing this stuff on from generation to generation.
We're better than what black people and black males are experiencing. We are better than that.
You just heard the trailer for Black Boys, an original film presented on the Peacock TV platform. The documentary celebrates the full humanity of black men and boys in America. Utilizing conversations and stories around education, criminal justice, and sports, the film reveals the emotional landscape of those experiencing racism and invites us to reimagine an America in which black boys experience true belonging and unlimited possibilities. I caught up with the film's director, Sonia Lohman, during a recent AFCA roundtable discussion where she talked about her desire and the grassroots efforts behind getting black boys in schools, where imagery and self-esteem are often shaped at an early age.
One of the things, you know, that's really important is this idea of windows and mirrors that surfaced, right, that Sharif El-Mekki talks about, and thinking about our classrooms as really these 8 hour, however many hour a day places where boys and girls are internalizing messages, whether you're white, black, or, you know, any other race or ethnicity in this country. And as said in the film, a lot of these education systems are sort of built on white supremacist or, you know, white privilege kind of curriculum. And so even breaking that down in terms of, you know, what are the posters on the walls in your classroom? What are, you know, who's the teacher that's standing in front of you in the classroom? What are the literature that you're reading? So, you know, working with Sharif El-Mekki, working with these voices in the film, EdTrust, you know, the Center for Black Male Educators, XQ Institute, these leaders in the space, like they're really working closely with us to try to get this into the schools. I thought a lot about this idea that we have a very, very white female teaching corps in this country. And there are a lot of, I believe, really well-intentioned white female teachers who are standing in classrooms that want to help black boys. But haven't honestly reflected on their own biases, and very unconscious often. And so I think that's something that really needs to be brought out through this film too, is particularly white people's fears, but particularly white female's fear, because they're often the ones standing in front of classrooms of black boys, maybe sending them to the principal's office, you know, more, or, you know, not knowing why there's a little bit more fear there than they would have with their white male students who might be exhibiting the same behavior, but it doesn't feel the same way to a white female teacher. So, you know, the classrooms are the sort of front lines. We call it front lines of justice for the learning manual. It is the front lines of this movement.
Two-time Super Bowl champion and one of the film's stars, Greg Shrugs, also commented on why Black boys must see a variety of images and understand the real truths about life beyond the field.
You hit it right in the core of the question, right? I think it's all imagery, right? What do we show our young Black boys? What do they see? How do they see it? You know, I work in athletics. I was in the administration first. And so as the director of player development, I never talked about athletics. I never talked about my athletic career to the young men and women that I served here at the university. I never talked about my playing days. Most of these kids have never seen my Super Bowl rings. I don't brag on that. But what I did talk about, I talked about how I graduated college early. I talked about how I worked in business first. I worked in sports marketing prior to taking the job here. I talk about going to grad school to get my MBA. I talk and I showed them, I tried to introduce them into different careers and curriculums. And so, you know, there's a student that says he wants to be in real estate. Okay. I didn't tell him that he needed to build capital through the NFL to be able to get in real estate. I immediately set up a meeting with a realtor for him to understand all the ins and outs of real estate and that it's not just tearing down a house and building up a house so he can see the image, so he can understand and hear the language of what it takes to be a realtor and not just see what he sees on TV. I take a bunch of money and I flip it. And ironically enough, I had that realtor say, yeah, you need to make X, Y, and Z dollars playing football and then we could do that. And I quickly paid the tab for the coffee and we left and we found another realtor to introduce him to, right? So I think the number one way that we do it is solely by imagery. And I think the second part after imagery is truth. The way that we begin to demonstrate to young Black men and women in this world and young people in general, the one thing that we have to be able to do with them is show them and tell them truth. The one thing I do not mince words about are the guys who are in this building and not the young women, because I'm not too well-versed in women's athletics and sports, particularly at the professional level, but I am well-versed in professional athletics from, you know, the male sport perspective. I don't mince words when I tell them, hey, listen, look around, okay? Maybe one of y'all gonna make it 2 years in here. Okay, so everything that I instill in you as a player, as a person, these are things that we talk about that will take you through life, that will help you in life. I had a kid who was late to something earlier this week. I brought him right in here at 6 a.m., Breakfast Club. It was a Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. I brought him in at 6 a.m. on Saturday and sat him down. The reason that I did, and I didn't run him to death at practice. One, that'll get you in a lot of trouble now. But two, it was more important for me for him to see what he did and how that was going to affect him, not in football. I could run him every day if I wanted to. But son, you got to understand, you're a young African-American kid, right? You don't get the leash. I don't care what anybody told you. You don't get the leash. So sit down right here while I still have a hold of it, and I'm going to help you and educate you as to what you need to do to be different so that you can be successful in this world. Kids need to see that truth. Not listen, if you don't do that, you won't make it to the NFL.
Black Boys is available now on Peacock TV. You can also watch the full AFCA roundtable discussion with Sonia Lohman and Greg Shrugs at WCLK.com.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Academy Theater in the Park and its fall series of outdoor performances at Jess Lucas Teen Park in downtown Hayteville. Sunday, October 18th is Western Day, featuring Back in the Saddle Band, beginning at 4:30 p.m. Friday, November 6th is the City Gate Dance Theater and Giwayin Mata All Sister Dance at 7 p.m. Percussion and Vocal Ensemble is Saturday, November 7th at 7 p.m. More information is available at 404-474-8332.
You just heard Beyoncé performing her hit song, Put a Ring on It. That's also the title of Will Packer's newest dating series, which debuted last night on the Oprah Winfrey Network. The one-hour program follows four longtime Atlanta couples who embark on the ultimate relationship test by dating other people. With help from master relationship coach Dr. Nicole LaBeach, the couples are pushed outside of their comfort zones to confront the questions they've been too afraid to ask. I caught up with Dr. Nicole, as well as the show's creator, Will Packer, who talked about the inspiration behind the show and what fans can expect from their new hit series.
What up, Ray? You know, this is something that's very interesting, and I'm gonna let Dr. Nicole speak to the conceptually kind of the idea of letting other people in your relationship. But you know, Ray, I agree. I think it's going to be a hit because it's got that kind of a that question, right? That a lot of people maybe have asked but are afraid to act on, and we're going to see what happens. It's almost like a social experiment. What happens when you take two people who love each other? I don't think that's at play or in question, but you know, the in love, the what do we do about the next level of this relationship? Sometimes that can get a little murky and gray, especially when you've been together for quite some time. And so there are a lot of people that can identify with that kind of a situation. What do you do when you've been with somebody for a while and there's this question of what we do to the next, to get to the next level, or if we should, or if there is a next level? The idea of bringing other people into the relationship was something that was discussed with myself and my producing partner and the other production company. And I always thought, wow, this would be something interesting to see, because people talk about it, they talk a good game, but when you actually open up that door, then what? Now what? And remind you, remember, Dr. Nicole can speak to this. It's not just about, okay, I'm jealous, I don't want you to be with anybody else. You got to be willing to make that commitment to that person. So you open the door, other people come in, you submit yourself to that type of an experience. But at the end of the day, ultimately, you got to decide if that person is right for you or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing opportunity, because so many times when you are in a relationship, the conversation of dating other people, like Will says, it may come up, but people will, you know, do underhanded things, or they won't be transparent. They won't put it all out on the table. In this experiment, it's all out on the table. They're doing this with full transparency, and I'm holding the space for them to have their honest conversations to figure out, okay, are we stuck, or are we refusing to move here as it relates to whether or not we need to grow forward or we need to do something different? And I think the audience is going to be quite excited about the journey that they're going to be taking this season.
Put a Ring on It airs Friday nights following Ready to Love on OWN. You can also watch the premiere episode at WCLK.com.
Hi, this is Melissa Ingram, General Manager of Aspire TV, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That was the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, performing alongside pop diva Annie Lennox in the 80s women's empowerment anthem, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. The lyrics to that song could not be more true this week, as four African-American women were promoted to some key leadership positions within four major Hollywood studios, including Warner Brothers TV Group and TriStar Pictures. Here to talk about these women and what this means for future creatives of color is author and TV film critic Rhonda Penn Rice.
Rhonda Penn Rice, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having me again. Fantastic.
So this week has been just an amazing week for African American women in Hollywood. A lot of promotions, a lot of Black women now are being promoted into some very high profile positions within Hollywood. Channing Dungey was just promoted to chairman of Warner Brothers Television. Sylvia Bug is now the new PBS chief programming executive and general manager, as well as Nicole Brown, who is now president of TriStar Pictures. And another name, wow, Jacqueline Stewart, who is joining the Academy Museum as the in the executive role as Chief Artistic and Programming Officer. And this is for the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures. And so, Rhonda, when I saw these headlines come across, you know, my iPhone, I immediately said, wow, this is a story. There's something happening here where all of these Black women are now being put in these very powerful positions because they're really in charge of the programming that we're going to start seeing that's going to come out of these different houses and studios. What does all of this really mean for those of us that view these projects, that watch PBS? What does that mean for those of us as the viewer?
Well, it's exciting, and it's very exciting, but also what we need to acknowledge is that these women are being promoted because they're already responsible for some of the great stuff that we already see. So, you know, when we talk about Channing, before she was at ABC and went on to Netflix, and now at Warner Brothers, I mean, she's credited with recognizing Shonda Rhimes' genius, you know? You said you met someone I know, Perlina Igbokwe, who is over at Universal Television. But Dexter and Soul Food, these are shows that she worked on as executives. And even NBC, when she was at NBC before Universal Television, she was responsible for The Blacklist. So these are women who have already been contributing to your entertainment enjoyment. But unlike the past, they're no longer hidden figures. They're getting the recognition, and it's only going to be bigger and bolder from here on out.
And I want to say these women really join a sorority of other African-American women who are leading, you know, major networks. When you look at someone like Tina Perry, who's president of OWN, Melissa Ingram, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, VP and general manager of Aspire, as well as Michelle Sneed, who is the president of Tyler Perry Studios. I mean, they're really part of this group of very powerful women making some major, major decisions, helping to create programming that possibly wasn't there before. I mean, when you look at how OWN has totally transformed, you know, weekend programming, Saturday night programming. I mean, who doesn't tune into Ayala Fix My Life or some of the new shows that are coming out through Will Packer? Really good stuff. Really, really good stuff.
Yes, and these things are doing extremely well. When you look at how well Amisha Green adapted Lovecraft Country has done. And you see all of these Black women at the forefront, it's definitely exciting because that momentum is what inspires and gives these women the power to continue to shake up TV, to continue to put images out there of us in particular that we aren't used to seeing. And they also have general market sensibilities too. So I think that what we will see is more programming that has a greater level of multiculturalism and inclusion for sure.
What does this do for, you know, the young female creatives that are out there that are, you know, aspiring not, you know, because I think at first most people wanted to be in front of the camera, but I think now with all of these women that are making these major moves behind the scenes, I think you now will have more young ladies who say, I want to be a director, like what's happening in Sylvie's Love. She wants to be a television producer. So what does this mean for future Black female creatives?
Well, as you know, I'm a member of the Black Women Film Network. I'm a board member, and I'm also one of the administrators of the Facebook group. So I don't have to guess what the impact is. I know what it is because every time I post one of these things, the response is just overwhelming. And the women are like, congrats. And they like let you know that they have something that they're pushing through. So I already know how inspirational it is because I'm seeing it on a regular basis.
Well, Rhonda, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. And you know what? You can always check Rhonda out where?
Oh, well, you just find me on Instagram and Twitter at Rhonda Roche. I'll let you know what I got going on.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Sonia Lohman, Greg Shrugs, Will Packer, Dr. Nicole LaBeach, and Rhonda Penn Rice. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman, and the voice of Casting Buzz and Entertainment News, Ms. Reva Blue. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, everyone.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.